I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Come, let us all unite to sing God is love. Let heaven and earth their praises bring. God is love. Let every soul from sin awake, each in his heart sweet music make, and sing with us for Jesus' sake, for God is love. God is love. Redemption found, God is love. His blood has washed our sins away, his spirit turned our night to day, and now we can rejoice to say that God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love. Happy is our portion here, God is love. His promises our spirits cheer, God is love. He is our sun and shield by day, our help, our hope, our strength and stay. He will be with us all the way, our God is love. God is love. God is love. Let us all unite to sing that God is love.
Praise God for His love. Thank you, Corral, for that uplifting rendition of an old, familiar hymn. And friend, I thank you for joining me for this edition of The Voice of Hope, here at the beginning of this new year of 2021. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. The second stanza of the song that the chorale sang says, O tell to earth's remotest bound, God is love. In Christ we have redemption found. God is love. His blood has washed our sins away. His spirit turned our night to day. And now we can rejoice to say that God is love. I just want to remind you, this ministry exists to proclaim the message of God's love to the remotest corners of the earth. And it's only possible for us to do that through your prayers and financial support. We're so grateful for each of you who partner with us in sharing the good news. As you well know, the year of 2020 was an unusual one. The COVID-19 pandemic brought many changes to our daily lives. It changed the ways we do some things. When the pandemic hit, we wondered, what will happen to the level of our donations? And to be realistic, we thought we might need to cut back on some avenues of ministry. But praise God, you gave so generously in 2020 that the ministry has expanded significantly. We've added 5 new languages to our broadcast schedule, 4 of them to Central Asia. And we were also able to purchase more Bibles than we ever have before in 1 year. It was like God, through you, opened the windows of heaven and poured out blessings by the bucketful. We're anticipating God's provision in this new year of 2021 as well. And here's what happened as a result of our working together. Listen to this testimony from a listener in the country of Nepal. I am so interested in the Heralds of Hope program. I love to hear your broadcast 2 times every week. It shows me a good path for life and my days. This program is protecting my life and my family in God's love, so that we are not snatched by anything else. I feel that our family is firm in Christ through your program. Thank you so much. Praise God for that wonderful testimony of God's keeping power.
My faith has found a resting place, not in a man-made creed. I trust the ever-living one that he for me will plead. Enough for me that Jesus saves, this ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him, he will not cast me out. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. My soul is resting on the Word, the living Word of God. Salvation in my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. The great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me.
Now stay tuned for my teaching, The Monster Tongue. Today, we continue in our study of the book of James. We're in chapter 3, and we'll be looking at verses 7 to 12. This section isn't a pleasant one. In fact, if you isolate it from the rest of the chapter, it's downright depressing. And yet, it's written here for our instruction, and so we dare not ignore it. I've titled our study for today, The Monster Tongue. Perhaps you've seen that little skit or heard the song by that title. It really makes a sharp point about the damage our tongues can do. Maybe you think I'm exaggerating to refer to the tongue as a monster, but I believe once we get into this text, you'll see that's not so far-fetched. Let's turn to our text now. That's James chapter 3 and verses 7 to 12. Listen as I read the Word of God. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. As we examine this text, we note three frightening evidences that verify the reality of the monster tongue. The first evidence I've called the factual information. And James begins by informing us of certain facts. He takes us to the world of nature, and he reminds us that every conceivable kind of creature has been tamed by mankind, or at least has been brought under man's dominion. And you'll remember that's what God commanded Adam to do, to take dominion over the creatures of the earth. And so, from hamsters to lions, from parakeets to eagles, from dolphins to whales, creatures have been tamed and even domesticated to serve humanity. Now it's true, some animals are more easily trained than others, but most of them, with the proper approach and an adequate amount of time eventually yield to the control of their trainer. Verse 8 introduces a shocking statement. It's one that goes against the grain of our thinking, because we like to think that we're in control of ourselves and our destiny. We have been conditioned to believe that if there's something we want, we can have it if we're willing to work hard enough to get it. And you know, while that may be true to some extent, that mindset leads us to a dangerous sense of being self-sufficient. So James' statement shocks us because he tells us plainly that there is one thing that no matter how hard we try, we cannot, humanly speaking, control. And that's our tongue. James states that nobody, not even one, can tame or control his tongue. It's a fact. No amount of human effort by cunning or logic or self-discipline or persuasion can silence the tongue and bring it into subjection. It can only be silenced in death, by removal, or through the grace of God. And it's that last phrase that gives us a glimmer of hope. But let's keep in mind that James is writing this letter to those who claim to be followers of Christ. He then gives us an additional fact in verse 2. The tongue is an unrestrainable evil. As I meditated on this text, I thought about the Gadarene demoniac that Jesus met in the tombs. There were many attempts to bind this man with fetters and chains, but he always broke them and he always escaped. That's the way the tongue is. Just when you thought you had it under control, out slips the most cruel and destructive statement. And then there's one more fact here in verse 2. The tongue is full of death-bearing venom. Adam Clark makes this comment, and I quote, "James refers here to the tongues of serpents, which are supposed to be the means of conveying their poison into the wounds made by their teeth. Throughout the whole of this poetic and highly declamatory description, James must have had the tongue of the slanderer, the calumniator, backbiter, whisperer, and talebearer particularly in view. Vipers, basilisks, and rattlesnakes are not more dangerous to life than these are to the peace and reputation of men." And that's the end of the quote. The tongue is more destructive than the most poisonous of snakes, because a snake's venom only has the power to destroy physical life. And I know that's bad enough, but vicious words have the power to crush the spirit of a person and to bring deadness to their soul. I know one person, and I have heard of others, who were told by their parents or someone else when they were children, "You'll never amount to anything." And you know something? Even as older adults, they are still struggling to overcome that crushing pronouncement. I say deadly poison indeed. So that's the factual information, the first evidence of the monster tongue. But then there's another evidence, and that is the practical observation. In verses 9 and 10, James records some observations about the tongue based on the previous facts that we just looked at. All genuine followers of Jesus have experience in using our speech to praise Him and to praise the Father. When we praise God, when we speak well of Him, we honor Him, we eulogize Him. And perhaps we've lifted our voices to sing words like these, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace." Or how about this one? "Oh, could I speak the matchless worth, oh, could I sound the glories forth which in my Savior shine, I'd soar and touch the heavenly strings and vie with Gabriel while he sings in tones almost divine." You see, we've used the exalted and often exaggerated language of poetry to praise God's name. Or perhaps in a testimony meeting, we've shared about how God met a need in response to our fervent prayers. And we're inviting others to join us in praising Him for His provision or for His protection or whatever way in which our need was met. Or perhaps we've shared with an unbeliever how Jesus can take away their sin and cleanse their heart and make them a new creature in Him. You know, all of those things are wonderful and they're necessary, and they're good. They are things that you and I should be doing. But then James also observes that the very same tongue that blesses our Creator God turns around and curses God's highest creation, mankind. It's kind of like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Now you might say, hey, wait a minute. I'd never curse anyone. Well, what does this word curse mean as it's translated here? The Greek word is katara. It's a word of intensity. Strong's Concordance gives two words to describe katara: imprecation and execration. Now, if you're like me, you're going to need some help with those words, with their definitions. These words convey the idea of declaring something or someone to be evil or utterly detestable. They're words of denunciation, words of loathing, and they're directed at those who are made in God's own image. You know, as I looked at this passage of Scripture, I noticed something I had never seen before. I always understood James' statement to mean denouncing or hating a brother in the Lord. But that's not what it says. It speaks of all human beings in general, because all human beings are made in the image of God. So, what about suicide bombers who blow themselves up in the middle of a crowd? Or what about terrorists who wantonly destroy life? Or what about those who cruelly torture our brothers and sisters in the Lord simply because of their faith? Or what about the person on the street with the pink hair and piercings in every visible part of their body? Is he or she created in the image of God? Absolutely, they all are. What about the perverted people whose vile actions are lower than animals? They too are precious souls for whom Christ died. And yet, how do I view them? I stand convicted, and I praise God for His forgiveness. And so the exalted and eloquent language of blessing and the disgust and loathing of cursing come from the same mouth. And then James says this, "My brothers, these things shouldn't be." This practical observation shows us clearly that blessing and cursing from the same mouth are a violation of nature itself. And that brings us to the final evidence. That final evidence of the monster tongue is the natural illustration. In these last two verses of our text, James raises several rhetorical questions. The first one is, can a water source overflow with both pure water and contaminated water at the same time? And of course it can't. It will either be one or the other. It's not possible for it to be both. So consider this. How contaminated does the water need to be before we label it contaminated and avoid using it? James' next question. Can a fig tree yield olives? Again, the answer is obvious. But just because the answer is obvious doesn't mean that we always get it right. A tree produces fruit based on its nature. So a fig tree can only bear figs because that's the way God designed it. It is always true to its nature. It can't pretend to be something it is not. Only human beings have that ability. And then here's the final question. Can a vine bear figs? Again, a basic knowledge of horticulture tells us it can't be so. You see, in the world of nature, no such inconsistency is found. It's only in mankind that these inconsistencies are found. And then there's yet another comparison listed here. It's not in the form of a question, but it's a statement. James reminds us it is not possible for a water source to contain both fresh water and salt water at the same time. So we have four illustrations from the world of nature. Let's review them. Sweet water and bitter don't come from the same source. Fig trees don't bear olives. A vine doesn't bear figs. And salt water and fresh are not available from the same fountain or the same source. These illustrations reinforce James' contention that blessing and cursing should not come from the same mouth. And if they do, then that automatically raises questions about what's at the source. Remember, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees in Matthew 12:34, and he said to them, brood of vipers? How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Proverbs 4:23 and 24 tell us this, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. You know, I'm not much interested in horror movies or in monsters of any form. But this I know, one characteristic of monsters is that they're uncontrollable. And we discovered today in our study of this text that the tongue fits that characteristic. I know this hasn't been a particularly encouraging study. In fact, it could be very depressing. But it's part of God's Word, so we cannot just ignore it. And I strongly encourage you to tune in next time as we move into the final verses of chapter 3, because in this section we will find the solution to the control of what we've called the monster tongue. Right now, join me as I pray. Gracious God, we acknowledge the evil that resides in our hearts apart from you. We confess that it is only by your grace and power that we can have victory over the monster tongue. Now, as my friend and I reflect on these truths, help us by your Holy Spirit to deal honestly and realistically with our own failures, knowing that you, O Lord, can cleanse us from all iniquity. For this we praise you and give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
You said if I believe, then you would save me. And long ago I looked to you and lived. But as I go from day to day, I so often lose my way. I'm ungrateful for everything you give. But I know that you have mercy on the fallen, and you'll stay behind when I lose the place. So with my faith and trust in you, and your love to see me through, I'll never fall beyond the reach of grace. Lord, I miss the mark so many times. I slip and fall out of line. Though I aim to please, I never cease to miss your mark for my life. Lord, I wanna do more than try with all I have to lift you high. Lord, I wanna do my part. I wanna hit the mark with you right here inside of me. I don't have to fall. Your Spirit's here to guide me when I give to you. So many times I slip and fall out of line. Though I aim to please, I never cease to miss your mark for my life. Lord, I want to do more than try with all I have to lift you high. Lord, I want to do my part. I want to hit the mark. Lord, I miss the mark so many times. I slip and fall out of line. Though I aim to please, I never cease to miss your mark for my life. Lord, I wanna do more than try with all I have to lift you high. Lord, I wanna do my part. I wanna hit the mark with you here in my heart. I know I'll hit the mark.
Thank you, a cappella harmony quartet, for that song of aspiration. You know, like the Apostle Paul, I too press for the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, especially in the use of my tongue. And I hope that's your desire too. If it is, why don't you contact me so we can encourage each other? I can pray for you, and you can pray for me, that God would enable us by His grace to have our speech to be the kind that builds up rather than tears down. You know, Satan wants to divide us, but God wants us to walk together in the unity of the Spirit. Now, would you like a printed or an audio copy of this teaching? If so, you can request a printed or an audio copy of this teaching, The Monster Tongue. Just send your request to our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org, or call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you may mail your request to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of the teaching, The Monster Tongue, either in print or on an audio CD. Or you may log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching whenever it fits into your schedule. If you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. Once again, you may send your request to our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Remember, you can request a copy of the teaching, The Monster Tongue, either in print or on an audio CD. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace, your fervent prayers, and your generous financial support to help keep The Voice of Hope on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me again next week. Lord willing, we'll continue our study in the book of James. So tune in and invite others to listen. And until we meet again,
O love surpassing knowledge, O grace so full and free, I know that Jesus saves me, and that's enough for me. And that's enough for me, oh, that's enough for me. I know that Jesus saves me, and that's enough for me. Oh, wonderful salvation, from sin He makes me free. I feel the sweet assurance, and that's enough for me. And that's enough for me. Oh, that's enough for me. I feel the sweet assurance, and that's enough.